Well, hello once again, and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast over the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy it is to be here with you every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to share with you what God has laid on my heart. Oh, yes, it's a real peace of mind for me, and I thank you for just sitting back and listening. And if you find out that you'd like to maybe contact me, well, please do so. You can reach me at tillhecomes.net. That's tillhecomes.net. I'll be glad to hear from you. Anyway, today's message I've entitled, When Grace Kicked In. When Grace Kicked In. You know, if I asked you, what is a Christian's biggest fear? What is a Christian's biggest fear? What would your answer be? Would it be, a fear of dying? Would it be the fear of uncertainty that your salvation is real? I mean, that's if you really believe you're a Christian. Or would it be the fear of losing your salvation? Oh, that's one we don't want to hear, right? Well, don't worry about it. If you got it, you're going to keep it. You're going to keep it. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll explore what I call the... when grace kicked in, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity you've given to me. Your servant, Lord, that I may bring forth this another broadcast. I pray, Lord, that ears will be open to it, and Lord, that blessings will flow and people will understand what's being said. Give me voice, Lord, and Lord God, I give you all the praise and thanks, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, let us look first of all at the condition. Yes, the condition of the unsaved. The unsaved. That's the people, of course, who are not going to heaven. They have not yet received Jesus Christ, believed in the gospel, right? Okay, let's look first at their condition. If I randomly chose, say, a dozen people off the street and grouped them together for a little chat, say, what would be the first obvious question I would ask them, as a Christian now? What would be the first obvious question? I know you're getting ahead of me here, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, you're right. It is, do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Well, this, of course, is contingent on their worldly assumption that there is no other place they could go, right? Oh, in other words, they did not believe or do not believe in a literal hell. And therefore, everyone would eventually go to heaven. Wow. Sounds good, huh? Yeah. So, I open my trusty King James Authorized Version 1611 Bible to Hebrews 12, verse 14. And here's what I saw. Here's what I read. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Have you got that? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Wow. Peace. Peace with all men. Have we ever seen that time in our lives? Have we? And holiness? Oh, wow. Now there is a number of very important things that happen to a sinner when he represents and believes in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is, oh yes. And I'll go through them quickly, but Surely. And then we will comment on each. Okay? You ready? Okay. Now, these are things that I'm going through that is aimed at you, if you're a believer, and why you believe, and why the non-believer doesn't believe. Okay? Okay, let's move ahead. First, the unsaved man. The unsaved man is what? Without Christ. What is he? He's lost. He's lost, right? According to 2 Corinthians 4:3, we read, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost." That's plain enough. So, how is it hid? How? By what? By the veil of sin and unbelief. The veil of sin and unbelief, which the devil has used to hoodwink all who are unbelievers. You have no hope. You are separated. You are unregenerate. Ephesians 4 says, unprofitable, unprofitable, under the wrath of God. Wow. And in the flesh. The bottom line, well, here it is. You are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Oh, that's not nice. Now, we must consider carefully what God did to bring the sinner into the family of God. All right? How sinners became reconciled to God. Now, I bring your attention to, well, let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 10, which reads, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Okay? Read that over again for yourself. That's Romans 5, verse 10. You know, there are many changes that take place the moment we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instantaneous changes. Changes that we might not even recognize. You know, a lot of people believe that such changes can be undone. Ooh. Like when we were children and we had friends whom we trusted to watch our back or help us with our schoolwork. As we grew to adulthood, these changes, well, they just naturally become undone. But why? Why? Because we don't need these friends any longer. We grow out of them, you might say. So what happens? Well, we go out and make new friends. New friends. And newer ones after that. As you move up the ladder of age. Newer ones all the time, according to our wants and then our needs. Friends are nice to have around just because they're friends. But sometimes the tendency is to get a little bit wanting, a little bit grabby even. If you don't do this or give this to me, you're not my friend. Now, we're not going there. That's another message altogether. You know, you've all heard the saying now, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, surely he is. By a supernatural work of God, well, the sinner is reconciled to God. You know, this was only made possible through the shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the begotten of God. That's the only way it could come about. Now, consider the following when you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider, you're no longer lost and on your way to an eternal hell like you were before you received Christ. You're not. hell is something that's no longer there as far as you're concerned, except for those who do not believe. You are reconciled to God. You are made righteous. You are justified. You are redeemed. You are adopted. You are quickened, raised up, blessed, forgiven, sanctified, put into the body of Jesus Christ, and last but not least, glorified. Glorified. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, it is. If we look into the book of Romans, Romans 8, verse 30, here's what we read. Pay attention, please. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:30, read it for yourself. Aren't those wonderful words? Being justified, glorified. Wow! These things don't happen over a period of time. Oh, no. They are instantaneous. When you give your life over to Christ, when you believe in what happened at Calvary, oh, and you say, Lord, forgive me. I believe in what Jesus did for me. Hey, that's when it happens. That's when it happens. Now, sometimes people get a little bit uncertain that they have done the right thing. Well, you know, that's why we have pastors and preachers and evangelists and all kinds of people that work for God. They'll explain it to you if you don't rightly understand it, and they'll help you to grow as well. Like I say, these things don't happen. Didn't just happen over a period of time. They happen instantaneous when you believe. When you believe. You will hear from time to time, of course, people who say, But you can lose your salvation, can't you? That God can take it back, all or part of it. Well, you know what? This is incomplete, or pardon me, it is complete. That's what it is. It's complete lunacy. Lunacy. And that's not a word you'd like to hear applied to you, is it? Lunacy. God's not an Indian giver. God looks upon the heart. He knows your heart. He knows if you are sincere or not. If you think you can lose your salvation, then guess what? Guess what? You never had it to begin with. So there. You might say, well, what did I do wrong? I said the prayer of salvation. Was your heart ready? Did you mean it? Were you giving the glory to God? Were you believing in what happened at Calvary? What Jesus did for you, were you? Think about it. It's the easiest thing you can do, you know, coming to the Lord and getting saved. It's as easy as, yes it is, easy as falling off that proverbial log right into the arms of Jesus. That's that easy. Now, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Once you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he suffered and died and shed his precious blood, so that we who truly believe are set free from all past and future sin, guess what? It's done. It's done. Oh, yes. When Jesus said unto the Father from the cross, it is finished. Well, I assure you, sir, I assure you, madam, he meant exactly that. This moment, when Jesus said it is finished, that's the moment when grace kicked in. Did you hear that? When Jesus said it is finished, that's the very exact moment that grace kicked in. In 1 John 3:6, we read, whosoever abideth in him, well, sinneth not. Oh, Well, you might say, well, you mean I won't commit another sin? That's not what it means. It means that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Your sins are taken care of. Because you're still in the flesh, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. But they're all covered by the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, two different applications are involved here. First, if you truly abide in Christ, you will not have a desire to sin. Have you got that? You will not have that desire to sin. God takes that away. Because when you are doing something or about to do something that's not right, that's sinful in the eyes of God, the blood of Christ has got you covered. It's got you covered. And you'll fall away from that. You won't want that. You'll know it's wrong. You'll know that God's not pleased. You'll know. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Oh, yes, indeed. Now, secondly, if you truly abide in Christ, if you really believe in what he did at Calvary, now shedding his precious blood, and even though you do sin, which you probably will while you're still in the flesh, your sin, as I just said, is under the blood. Under the blood of Jesus Christ. He took care of it. You see, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Past, present, and future. All the sins of your past are all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. When you give yourself over, when you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, every sin you ever committed in the past is wiped clean. They say the slate is marked as wiped clean, but I say the blood attacks it and delivers you from it. Oh, what pure blood that is, the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, indeed. Now, I want you to listen to what's coming up here. It's very important, okay? Very important. Listen carefully. Our holy and righteous God cannot look upon sin. All right? Sin was and always is a stench in the nostrils of God. He can't look upon it. And when you're covered in the blood, that's all he sees is the blood of the Lamb. And that means a lot. In fact, that's the finality of it all. Covered in the blood, God doesn't see it anymore. The sin of each one of us. Even when his own son was dying on the tree, God the Father could not look upon him because he, Jesus the Christ, was laden down with the sins of the whole world. Past, present, future, the sins of the whole world were on him. He took them from us. The atoning blood of Christ covered it all. The sins. The sin issue was dealt with. The sin issue was taken care of. Remember how God the Father brought 3 hours of darkness over the earth when his only begotten Son bore our sins? You remember that? Huh? Well, this is because God could not look upon sin. And his son was laden with sin. Our sin. God is too holy. But until that price was paid, now, with the blood applied, with the blood of Christ applied, the Father can once again look. For now, when he does look, all he sees is the blood of redemption. As for the unsaved, he cannot look upon them in their sinful estate. No. Until they come under the cleansing blood. Everyone must come under the cleansing blood of the Lamb. You know, the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, right? Mm-hmm. Now, any sin you commit, this is very important, ultra important. Any sin you commit after salvation, after you've come to Christ, received Him as your Savior, any sin you commit, and you will sin as long as you're in the flesh, sins that are under the blood, which is all of them, they will be consequences. There will be consequences along with the loss of blessings. Blessings. Oh, that's loss of rewards also, right? Oh, yes. God the Father loves to bless His children. Oh, yes, He does. The way we secure these blessings is through obedience to His Word. Did you know that? By being obedient to the Word of God, we receive blessings. You might say, well, I feel blessed right now. Well, are you walking? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you believing? Are you living for the Lord? Well, those blessings are going to flow. Now, there might be times when you say, I didn't get a blessing today. I wonder why. Well, check it out. Maybe you forgot to say your morning prayer. Maybe you forgot to tell someone else about Jesus during the run of your day. You know? I mean, blessings, although they come. Sometimes blessings have to be warranted. You know? God blesses whom He will. Oh, yes, He does. He does. God the Father loves to bless His children. The way we secure these blessings is through obedience. On the other hand, when we are disobedient, well, we suffer blessings lost. And when we go too far, we also lose rewards or crowns to cast at our Savior's feet. When we stand before the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ, oh yes, we do. You know, we are not disowned by our Heavenly Father. Once we belong to Him, we've given ourselves over to God the Father. We are never disowned. God doesn't say, oh, well, you just blew it. I'm going to throw you out of heaven. You're not getting here. No. No, you're under the blood. And for God to say, no, I'm sorry, but you didn't hold down your salvation, you didn't do it right, so I'm going to have to let you go. No, that's an insult to His Son. You see, He died for all sinners. He shed His blood for all sinners, you, me, the whole world. And if we receive Him as our blessed Savior, acknowledge Him as the Holy One, then God the Father, He receives you. He believes in you. He will take you to glory when the time is right. But, just like any other obedience, whether it be in the eyes of God or in the eyes of your parents or your boss at work, there will be consequences. You may suffer a loss of rewards. You may not have your prayers answered according to your will or your desire. And you may be chastised. But, and I get this, although you may be chastised, you will never, never be abandoned. Never. This is so important to know. Salvation cannot be lost. No one can pluck it out of the Father's hand. John 10:29. No one. We shall know them by their fruits, not whether they eat oranges or apples, but by their walk, their lifestyle. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It pains me greatly to see the extremes of so-called Christians. When it comes to attire, I always say, dress for the occasion. If you're into sports, dress according to the need. If you're going to a social affair, then dress also according to the need. The secret word, people, is to be conservative. And that's not a political statement. When attending the Lord's house, show respect for His presence and don your best attire. Sure. But if you don't have good attire, come anyway. God understands. You don't stay away from church because you may have to wear jeans or something. Don't do that. That's not proper. Just as if you were visiting the Queen in Buckingham Palace or shopping with the President. Do what you can, as much as you can. God looks upon the heart. It's all built around respect and good old common sense. What pains me the most is the pretentiousness of mankind. Those who profess salvation, yet run with the world. Not only in their dress code, but also in their hairstyles, their language or lingo, their entertainment, their refusal to use Christian dialogue when out in public, witnessing and such. Instead of praising God and uplifting the one who died at Calvary, they prefer to shut their mouths and blend right in with the devil's bunch. These apostates are hell-bound believers. They make God sick. And one day, God will spew them out of His mouth. Spew them out of His mouth. You know what? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. It sure is. The last line in chapter 2 reads, sin is the factor that separates man from God. Nothing truer could ever be said. Sin. But remember this, while sin holds back God's blessings, the Savior's blood is the atoning factor that keeps us in God's family. And remember this in closing, there is nobody who used to be a Christian. Nobody who used to be a Christian. This is part one of this message. I pray you'll tune in again at another time, probably next week, for part two. Part two. Oh, how I love bringing these messages. Now, thank you, Lord, for giving me the vocal capacity. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I look forward to talking to you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.